Good morning, Symphony Church. Yesterday, we finished out 1 Timothy, Paul's first letter to his disciple Timothy, and today we'll be continuing right along by starting 2 Timothy, which is Paul's second letter to Timothy. And so with that, I'll read for us 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you well know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. Amen. So if you're not familiar with who exactly Timothy is Paul's beloved disciple and fellow pastor, charged by Paul to take care of and minister to the church in Ephesus. Now, this was a significant task, and we know from Paul's letters to Timothy, as well as Paul's letters to the Ephesians themselves, that there were many things that Paul and Timothy both would have had to consider when pastoring the Ephesian church. The church of Ephesus was a faithful and fruitful church, and so there was a congregation that hungered for spiritual food. At the same time, there were murmurs of false doctrines and teachers that sought to lead the congregation astray, and we can gather that they were of a caliber that convinced even some of the strong Christians in the Ephesian church. And so, Timothy would have had this enormous responsibility of shepherding this vibrant and flourishing community and continually pouring into them and advising them on living out their faith, while also combating the false teachings and defending the truth of the gospel that he and Paul knew. It's a tall order, don't you think? And so it should come as no surprise that when Paul writes to Timothy, he seeks to really encourage him to continue laboring hard in the Lord. But it's interesting, because in verse 6, Paul reminds Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God. And if you think about it, this might seem a little confusing. Timothy would have known that God had gifted him the power and the authority and love to do the ministry that he had been called to. And Paul even reminds him of this by telling him that God gave you a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. But Paul also says that this gift from God is one that must be fanned into flame. In other words, it's something that we need to work hard on to keep going. Now, if you've been attending Symphony for a while and you've had a chance to have a meal at our church lately, whether at Experiencing God in Freshman Discipleship or Easter service or some other event, then you likely had a meal that came out of my kitchen, not to brag. To be specific, you likely had a meal that at one point spent some time on this grill that I have in the corner of my back porch. Now, that grill has been a lifesaver these days. It's been a huge factor in being able to prepare these large meals for our church. But every time I use it, I come face to face with the fact that fires are so hard to light. There have been so many times where I spent a ridiculous amount of time and effort trying to light the charcoal and waiting and seeing it smoke out, and I would light it again and wait again, and it goes out and repeat again and again, and it can be the most frustrating thing, especially because I realize that even though I might try to take shortcuts, I might try to put in the minimum effort to get the fire going, at the end of the day, you need to continually tend to the fire if you want the flame to keep going. And so when Paul tells Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God, I really understand the level of attention and constant effort that Paul is suggesting is needed in order to truly take hold of this gift. Now for us, I think we often forget that when it comes to God's calling, He does give us the spirit of power and love and self-control, which allows us to respond and do His will. But it's a gift that we must fan into flame. It's not a passive guarantee, but it's an active opportunity that we must nurture and continually work out. And if we're to do this, we need to keep two things in mind. And Paul says as much. We need to be, one, willing to suffer for the gospel. And two, we need to remember that our calling is given to us in accordance to His purpose and grace. Paul tells Timothy, starting in verse 8, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began." Suffer for the gospel, and remember that our calling comes from His own purpose and grace. Now, these things might seem obvious when applied to Timothy, because after all, he's a pastor, an early church leader, an anointed and biblical figure. Of course, he should suffer for the gospel. Of course, he should humble himself in knowing that his calling comes from God's purpose and grace. But actually, it's just as important that you and I understand the calling over our lives as well. If you are a believer, and not only a believer, but a disciple, then Jesus is calling you to take on His will. He's calling you to reach out to your neighbor, to your classmate, to your worker. He's calling you to foster a faith that inspires the people around you, that is a light within the church. He's calling you to bear witness to His grace by your conduct and your thoughts, which flow out from you and reflect Christ to those who observe you. And if we are to answer this call, we must fan into flame the gift of God. We must be willing to suffer, to be uncomfortable, to face rejection, to bear hardship for the sake of the gospel. We must remind ourselves constantly that we don't set our calling, but our calling is set by God's will, by His purpose and grace. And I pray that that be true for you today. That in your heart, you say yes to this call. You renew your commitment to this call. And you fan into flame the gift that God has given you in order to do His will. Let's pray. Lord, you call us to great things, not because we are great people, not because we have great capabilities, but because you are a great God and you have given us a great grace. And so, Lord, I pray that for every single one of my brothers and sisters, as they find all these small opportunities and chances to grow their faith, to continue to do your will, I pray that it comes with an opportunity to fan into flame the gift that you have given them. To really set their minds on doing your will, to accessing the strength and power and authority that you've given them. And Lord, I pray that through continued willingness to suffer for the gospel and continued reminders that it's not our will that's done, but yours, that we can continue to be brothers and sisters who are running this race for you. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.